A theologian named Mary Pellauer once said, "If there's anything worth calling theology, it's listening to people's stories, listening to them and cherishing them and asking them to be even more brightly beautiful than they already are." I think it's interesting that as the writer of Hebrews starts to talk about faith, he does so not using grand theological terms or philosophical ideas, but by telling stories. By telling stories about people in the Bible who heard the call of God and followed. We get a snippet of Abraham's story today, this man who followed the call of God, a call that had a lot of blank spaces and a lot of uncertainties and a lot of unknowns. Maybe Frederick Buechner captured best the essence of Abraham's faith. He wrote, "Faith is the word that describes the direction our feet start moving when we find that we are loved. Faith is stepping out into the unknown with nothing to guide us but a hand just beyond our grasp." I'm not sure any of us has faith as much as we act in faith. Does that make sense? Faith by itself is just a word or an idea without some kind of action to back it up. Abraham and Sarah could believe in God all that they wanted, but we didn't see their faith until they packed up all their things in Ur and set out with nothing more than some hope and some tents and some camels. We all have faith in something, as Greg said. Some people have faith in the free market system, believing that that is the best way to do economics. Some people have faith in the Portland Timbers, that they will be extraordinary athletes who always play well. Some people have faith in their alma mater, in a college or a university, that that school will teach well and send people out ready to make a contribution to society. Some people have faith in their family, that there is this group of people who will always take them in no matter what. Some people have faith in nature, that the great outdoors will persist and will continue to sustain us and inspire us. And I would say that maybe all of us here this morning have faith in God. Maybe not, but something drew you to this warm and beautiful space this morning. And in this postmodern world, we understand faith not so much as an intellectual acceptance about doctrines and theology, but faith is relationship. Faith in God is more like a trust that God wants good things for us. That faith in God is about the hope that God, and no other force, is the one guiding the stars and all manner of human things. Faith is the hope that we have not been left to our own devices. But it's sort of hard to talk about our own faith the way it's sort of hard to talk about our love for someone else. If I were to try to describe to you my relationship with Greg, I might say that I love him because I admire his patience, or because he finds me funny in the right way, or because, as some of you know, his mind works so differently from mine, and I find that enchanting. But if I really wanted to convey to you my love for him, I might tell you a story, like the one about the time when we were dating and I was living in Chicago and he was living in Indianapolis, and we decided that we would spend Thanksgiving in Indianapolis with his parents, except I had a church service on Thanksgiving Eve. So I was gonna leave Chicago at about 8:30 that night and drive down to Indy and have Thanksgiving with what I did not know yet would become my new family. Except I got a flat tire on a back road between Chicago and Indy, and it was raining, so I called AAA, and they came out, and they put the donut on, and I went back home, and we agreed that we would make a decision in the morning. Well, it didn't take very long for me to call him in the morning and hear that he and his parents decided that they were going to come up. So Greg and his mom and his dad and the turkey that was still sitting there in the 5-gallon bucket in the brine drove all the way from Indianapolis to Chicago, and that evening around 7 o'clock, we sat down to dinner. A picture tells a better story. So it is, I think, when we talk about our faith in God. We tell each other stories about our lives and how sometimes we see God in those stories. And sometimes those stories are about unbelievable miracles that we hesitate to share because people might think we're a little off. And sometimes those are stories about prayers that are answered so clearly and in such a timely manner. But more often than not, I think, these stories are told, and then we go back and we look at them and we see these stepping stones or these minuscule connections, and we think to ourselves, that's funny. That's a strange thing. This story really doesn't make any sense unless you put God in it. That's how it was for Abraham and Sarah. It makes no sense that these people left all of their creature comforts in the city of Ur in the land of Chaldea and set out across the desert into Egypt and out of Egypt with nothing to guide them but a promise. The promise of heirs as numerable as the stars and a home that they would never reach. There's no way to explain that story unless you put God into it. 125 years ago, a group of people decided to act on their faith in God and chartered this congregation. And over 100 years ago, in faith, that group of people built this sanctuary, trusting that it could hold the ministry of this congregation for decades or even centuries. In faith, this congregation sent its sons and daughters into World War II, and some, but not all of them, returned. In faith, this congregation endured the turbulence of the 1960s and the awakening awareness that our society and our church had some work to do to fulfill God's call for peace and justice for all. In faith, we gathered in those horrible days after 9/11 and held each other and prayed and sang. In faith, we gather every week, even now at a time when our country is more divided than it has perhaps ever been, in a time when we are so quick to categorize someone and not hear their story. In faith, we still live our lives, hoping that God is indeed present to us, that hand that is just beyond our grasp. Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch Christian woman whose family hid a Jewish family in their home, who was discovered and lived a horrible life in a concentration camp, never lost her faith despite all that she had been through. And she once said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." I wonder what it would be like if we just took time to talk with each other about our lives and about God and about how we saw God in our day or our week and how we did something scary or something courageous because we trusted that God was right there just beyond our grasp. As I said, this scripture was one that was suggested to me when I asked folks to send me a suggestion for a sermon, and the person who suggested it said that they had struggled with this because it seemed to him unfair that Abraham and Sarah never received the promise, and he wondered if the writer of Hebrews was implying that they didn't receive the promise because they lived before Christ. I read this story differently. I think we act with the faith that God will fulfill God's promises, but sometimes our actions are seeds that we plant that someone else will harvest. Abraham and Sarah did not live, they could not live, to see the promise fulfilled of heirs as numerous as the stars. That did not mean that God wasn't faithful to them, and it didn't mean that they put their faith in the wrong God. It means, I think, that faith is a hope we have in the present for a reality that we will know in the future. So in this present time, in the meantime, we live our lives and we tell each other our stories about God and about the seeds that we plant. We trust our unknown future to this known God whose hand really is just beyond our grasp. But someday, we'll take that hand. Not yet, but soon. Amen.